that's not really it. Yeah! While we were, Juliet, while we were worshiping, I was just reminded of the fact that I'd really like to just celebrate you and say thank you so much for the year. Thank you that you've run this office. Thank you that you've administrated this congregation, that you love these people so much, and that you really a minister also. And we really appreciate you and looking forward to next year with you a lot. And they love you so much. Thanks, Juliet. We, me and Ronel's personality types are exact opposites, okay? When you use the Myers-Briggs personality typology, then we're exact opposites. And Juliet has got half of mine and half of Ronel's. So we think it's a perfect match for the office. Let's quickly pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the joy in your presence. Thank you for victory that is ours. And I thank you for life and joy that comes from you and that flows through you into us and from us into this world. I pray, God, that you would reveal to our hearts whatever you want to reveal from your word this morning, Lord. And I pray that it would bring transformation as the word always, always does. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you ready and expectant every time you come to church that there might actually happen something in your heart that could change something inside of you forever? Okay? That's a question that has a yes or a no, or I'm not sure answer. Okay? But I want to challenge you to come to church with that. Come to church with the fact that what I might hear is something from the Word of God which has the power to change me forever. But we're all still young. We've got so much to learn. And even when you're 80 years old, you find that those people tend to learn more than we do because they know that they need it more. They've finally realized that they don't know anything. We still need to get there. But I want you to be open. Just say, Lord, come and do what you want to do. Let me not walk out of this the same. That's the one attitude to come to church with. The other attitude to come to church with is, what can I give when I come? What can I give when I come? So be ready to receive and be ready to give. The rat race. So we had a strange conversation on our stoop of our lovely house. Some of you have been to our house. We've been to our house. One, two, three. Jacques has been there. He's almost stayed over a couple of nights. Yeah, we've got a lovely little house up in Woodstock, and we'd love to have you all over there. We're going to have a lot of amazing times there. But we were having a weird conversation about the rats. That is, we saw some rat traps down in the garden, so we thought there might be rats. And had some conversations about ending the rat race, the rats. And then I thought that was a cool kind of punny thing. And then the next morning in my quiet time, I read this beautiful scripture, and the Lord brought the rat race back into mind. And you'll see exactly what I mean. But that title slide kind of gives away the sermon already. Some of those books that we read, like Driven by Eternity, you kind of need to read the cover page and then you get it. Okay, so maybe this is like that. Let's read this scripture, and we're going to work through this scripture. But Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. when I look at this, when I work through this, then there's a couple of elements that comes forth that I would like to focus on. We're going to work through the scripture bit by bit to kind of get into that and try to see what is going on here. And I think it's of specific and prophetic relevance for quite a few of you right now, looking into the future, looking into next year. Okay? So the first one, the scene. Okay, I played around with the idea of doing the first part of the sermon in an Italian mafia voice, with a cat on my lap, so I can say that I really think that we should pay attention to the scene that is around us, and then the race and the rats. And there was a couple of cool moments there that would have linked up with the movie Godfather that I thought might help. Anyway, but I decided not to do that because every now and again I started my mafia accent, and then after a while I end up in my Indian accent, which is more dominant in me. So the scene, I imagine this scene where this starts off, the scripture starts off, and you have to use your imagination. It says, therefore... You know this, most of you know this very well, that when it starts with therefore, it refers to what has just been said before. Okay? What has been said before in Hebrews 11? Most of you know that also. It's the hall of faith. Okay? It is where they list, almost said Paul, but we don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews, so it will, maybe it wasn't Paul. But where they list everyone that has been, or not everyone, but a lot of people that has walked amazing walks of faith and that ended their lives, whose lives are ended by them being in faith and now being in heaven. And we are called to think of them as witnesses that surrounds us, almost like the spectators around an athletics stadium. And they've got their eyes on us. That is a very powerful image. As you live your life, there are expectant, excited witnesses. Abraham, Moses, those guys looking down at you, saying, you are part of the legacy with which we've built in, and we are so excited to see how you're going to fulfill your part in it. And if you close your eyes and imagine that, it can do something to you. It can kick you into gear and say, oh, Moses is looking. You are counted as a son of God, a daughter of God, worthy for them to behold you and to call them as part of what they have done and established, and to continue that going forward. You are called, every one of us. This is not written for pastors only. This is written to the Hebrews, the congregation, maybe just like in general, Hebrews, Christians, like Jewish people that got saved. You are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. So it says something about accountability. Heavenly accountability looking down at you. And it says something about your identity, that you are called to partner with them and are worthy of that because of the blood of Christ. And therefore, there's a responsibility on you. So that's where this starts off from. And we almost have to say, wow, am I ready for this? So that's the scene that's around us. The next portion is the race. It says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Another scripture that says this beautifully is, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. There is a race for you to run. there is a race set out for you before the foundation of the world that you should run. Not that you will run, because you can't necessarily decide not to run the race, but that you should walk in them. And this is what the witnesses are looking at and saying, come on, will you walk out what you've been called to? Will you run the race that has been assigned to you? Let us run with endurance this race that he set before us. So there is a race. But then comes the rats, and the rats must get out of the race, because otherwise the race becomes the rat race, and then it's terrible. It's not about getting out of the race, it's about getting into the right race and getting the rats out of the race so that you're not stuck in the rat race. There's work to be done, there's things that you are called to. It's beautiful things that has been laid before you and in front of you and has been prepared for you before the foundations of the earth. So there is a race. Interesting, in the next slide it says, let us run it with endurance. That word features in the rest of that scripture quite a bit. They focus on it a bit. Endurance. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. For our generation, it's important to note here that obedience to this race does not lead to instant gratification, but it leads to something much more beautiful, much deeper, much more lasting and eternal. Something beautiful in this life and the future. It says, later on in that scripture, it is for a discipline's sake that we have to endure. And then it says that we need to be disciplined and endure so we can share in his holiness and yield the peaceful fruit of righteousness through our lives. So the endurance part isn't there because God is not strong enough to make it easy. The endurance part is not there because we are not doing things correctly. The endurance part is there very specifically to form your character all the more into the character of Christ, so that you may share in his peace, in his righteousness, in his joy. It's there for a reason. Run with endurance. Our generation don't like it. It's very necessary, and it's beautiful. It's God. The endurance is God. If you take it like that, it's a lot like exercise. A lot of us understand that when we train, when we gym, when we run, sometimes it's very tough, it hurts, and you want to stop, but you know it's good to continue. It feels like eating broccoli when you don't like it. I like it, but I know some people don't like it. Spinach, I don't know what you want. Why don't you like that? Really good. Think of that. It's like eating that and going like, this is so good for me. This is so good for me. The reason I like broccoli is because I know it's so good for me, and then I eat it, and then after a while you start liking it because it's so good for you, and now you like the thing that's good for you, and then life's fun. Okay, it's a lot like the things of God. You start doing them because you know that they're good for you, and then after a while you realize this is life, and then everything clicks. So that's why the same way that we understand that there comes pain with running and exercise, but it's good for us the same way. It is good for us to change our mindset when life becomes a bit tough and we need to endure a little bit. We should see it as broccoli or as push-ups and continue in it and be, this is good for me. I like this. Bring it on. When you are playing a rugby match and someone hits you on the chin and you really are hurting, you don't walk off the field and go like, yeah, this is my lack of mine. I don't want to do this anymore. This is painful. You get more excited about it. You must just control yourself not to hit the guy back, but you're definitely going to tackle much harder in the next minutes and make sure that you make impact. And often we lack that in the kingdom, where we just so, I've just been hit. I've been hit. Guys, look here. I'm not being harsh. I'm just saying that there is a race that you run, and sometimes you get hit, but that hit is good. That hit is great. You are going to get hit, because the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. It's a messy business where we conquer, overcome, where we gain victory. You're going to get hit at some stage. But it's beautiful if we can say, well, I'm not going to stop playing. Now you're going to see me play. Because this is my kingdom that I've been called into. The race that I've been called into. Witnesses are looking at me. Definitely not going to stop. That last 2 minutes was not really part of the sermon, but I think it was good. Now, there is the race, and then as we run this race, we know this very well, then in comes those rats. The next portion of this scripture that says, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us lay aside every weight. And when I read this, it was like the Holy Spirit say, that's the rat in the rat race. Get that out, then you get the race and not the rats that makes it the rat race. Okay? Now, the two words, we need to lay things aside. Weight and sin. Weight and sin. The other word for the Greek for the word weight also translates as burden. Okay? And for sin, it means to miss the mark, like you might know. So, it means you should lay aside things, activity, responsibility that was never supposed to be part of your race. Because those weights, those burdens are not from God, and are so often the ones that just does this with us. And then in September, then we just over it for the year. I can't do this anymore. I just did everything. I can't do this anymore. I'm over it. I'm tired. And that weight, in a way, if you read the commentaries of this, the weight and the sin, the weight is actually sin. To take ungodly weight upon yourself is sinful in itself. It's missing the mark in itself, because you're engaging in activity that was never part of your race. And we're called to lay that aside, and that's the word of grace. This is probably the reason for this sermon is for exactly this one, the weight. Because many of us, most of us, do not carefully evaluate the weights, the burdens, the responsibilities we accept, we say yes for. And they sneak in like a rat in the evening in your house, looking good, looking like a good idea, to accept the promotion, to accept the position with the rugby in England, to accept the chairman of the Oudagbreker Bond, to accept a position as a pastor here. Those are the rats that comes in. And if that thing was not supposed to be part of your race, if that thing did not emanate from you and Jesus spending time, and you going, I see this is God. I see this is good. I see this is a part of my race. I know exactly what's happening here. I know why I'm doing this. And you can move in faith. And that's good. Not convincing yourself that I need more money and 20,000 rand a month more would be great. Okay? There's only two gods. It's God or money. I'm not going to preach on that, because that gets my blood boiling a lot. But often it is money that comes in here that puts weights on us that is not supposed to be our weights, that we decide for, I'm going to do this. I can buy this house, I can save for retirement, I can do all of this if I take this job. I'm gonna do this. Thank God, money won, and you justify it by saying I need to be responsible and look after my family. Actually, it's a bunch of ungodly rubbish. So we should be careful at what weights we put on ourselves. The weight that is designed for us to carry, the word says his burdens are light. His yokes are easy. He does give you burdens and he does give you yokes, but it's light and easy. Seriously? Yeah, because he already did it. He already accomplished it. He already made the victory possible. You can walk it out. There's grace in that. So often there's not so much grace in those things that wasn't yours. And then there's an endurance that you endure when you're doing the things of God. And then there's this ungodly endurance that you're going through doing the things of with these weights that was never supposed to be yours. My experience is there's slightly less grace when you're moving in that. It seems a bit harder to stride. And then we should lay aside those weights make a conscious effort. I've said this before. Just said, yeah, I can't remember. Me and Runel make a yearly effort of, and we're going to do it now again in December holiday because we're very excited about the season that's lying ahead. But we make sure that every second of our lives that we're going to spend in the next year is spent aligned to things that we know we've been called for, and we're not going to waste time on anything else. And then you evaluate all of it and you take something and you see this thing. The Lord is not saying this. I'm removing this. I'm taking this out. I'm going to focus on what he tells me to focus. And thereby not burning out, not, you know. And then often when we preach a message like this, then people start working harder there and they're 8 to 5 jobs trying to make money and come up with all kinds of excuses why they're not going to serve a church anymore because they're actually burnt out. But they last year shouldn't have accepted that promotion that is actually leading them to working 14 hours a day. And now they're not really effective in the kingdom because you chose to make a decision for money. Am I being too honest? Okay, thank you. I was part of that rat race for the last 6 years. I know those things. I know how they come. I know how they work. I know how they come into your heart. I know how you evaluate it. I know how you look about the future, your family. I understand it. It's just we need to be very careful. Because I'm going to get to something beautiful right at the end, okay? A very simple example that happened yesterday morning was, well, not yesterday morning, but in the week and then yesterday morning, is I got an invitation to the Sevens. Cape Town Stadium, Yaku, Ade, Yaku, Byron. And how we deal with that, you might say, oh, this is over-spiritualizing it. It's not over-spiritualizing it. Because this is my life. I take this seriously. I take what I need to do with my life seriously. I'm not going to just say yes for something because it seems nice. But the moment it came into my lap, I thought I could build relationships with amazing people that's going to be in my congregation next year. And I brought it to God and I got a lack of feeling in my spirit and I said, in faith, I'm going to do this. I'm not doing this for the rugby. I love watching Sevens. It's 15 minutes and it's over on TV. I don't have to go there for 6 hours just sitting there in the sun. I didn't burn. I actually did for the first time in a while, I did the sunscreen thing well. But I went because of that. And that was, I believe it was part of my race. I did it in faith. I went. was hectic because the world is all over, like girls wearing nothing. So it wasn't necessarily nice to just be there and be bombarded with the world, but I know why I'm there, so I'm there. Okay? And I like rugby, and I'm working through through that demon also. I am actively working on it and through it and wrestling with God about rugby. It's way better than what it used to be in Rez. When I was staying with John Foster in Rez, I was saved back then, mission leader, everything. I would watch rugby Friday morning, Super Rugby, all the Friday morning games, then the Friday evening games, then the Saturday morning games, and the Saturday afternoon games, and sometimes there was a game on Sunday. And I did that all I do when I was busy with my masters. For the first 3 months, I wasn't busy with my masters, but that's a different story. So I had extended holidays. The fact of the matter is, I recognize that rat, that rugby rat, and I'm actively wrestling that rugby rat. I can honestly say I didn't go to the sevens because of the rugby rat. Yaku realized that I know quite a lot about the rugby and about what's going on, because I've spent a lot of time in my life doing it. I'm wrestling that thing, okay? But I could get to know Yaku, and that was worth it. On the other hand, the morning we had an extra ticket, and I said, I told Jock, come some, like, join us. And I could see in his eyes, and I could discern in my spirit, he knew he shouldn't go. He knew, he said, I need to spend time on my own. That means he's having quiet time for hours in the mountain. I need to spend time working a few things through. I can't do this right now. And in my spirit, I just knew that's not part of your race. It's part of my race. It's got nothing to do with rugby. It's got nothing to do with spending time in the mountain. It's got nothing to do with anything. It's got something to do with aligning yourself to exactly what's in it. What's part of your race right now? And to walk closer with the Holy Spirit to discern that. Big decisions, small decisions. Big races, small races. Then you can ask, how? How do I do this? The answer is given in the very next portion of Scripture. It says, the how, looking to Jesus. The author knew we would ask that question right there. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Other translation, I think the New King James says, the author and the finisher of our faith. The author and the finisher. You know what he did? He designed the race with heavenly power, majestic power, speaking words, creating the universe, creating people, setting up this thing that we do. And then he left that heavenly power as the creator, came down as a human being, and showed us how to do it, how to run the race. He was the author and the finisher. He finished that race. He's the only one who did that perfectly. Spending time at the feet of Jesus as the most important thing we do is the way to ensure that we're running this race correctly. Not only to receive instruction, but to know his heart and to understand his unctionings and to get to understand the ways of his spirit in our walk. He showed us. So meeting with him, looking to Jesus, looking to Jesus, beholding Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18 says, as we behold him, we become like him from one degree of glory to the next. As we behold him, we become like him. So looking to Jesus, becoming more like him, that's the way to do it. On your knees, you would find the way. That's the how. And then the why. I'm a little bit of a fan of Simon Sinek, and he says you must start with the why. I'm ending with the why, but at least the why is in here. And I'm sorry for that thing that should be in front of the of the doikies. What do you call that in English? I don't know. Those kind of like punctuation things in English, I don't know. Anyway, the why. Jesus tells us the why because Jesus did the same thing. He, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. The cross is metaphorically used not only for that day which he carried it, but for us it's called, we are tasked to pick up our cross daily. He picked up a figurative cross daily while he was on earth because he had to walk it out in this horrible environment with this horrible body that just doesn't look anything like heaven. He picked up his cross every day and he endured that day with his cross for the joy. Why did he do it? For the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame, seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He is in his state of joy right now. He made the way, and he's seeing thousands of people coming in through that way, I believe, every day. That gives him all the joy he ever wants. And he's seated back at the right hand of the throne. That will give us joy one day when we're there. Fullness of it. So for that joy set before me, endured the cross. So looking to Jesus, we see the way. We see why. We see that there is joy. And that the regular end state of Christianity is joy. The reason why we do things is Jesus gives us his joy and his peace. He wants to establish his reign of joy and peace in us so it can go through us to the world. And that's the end of believing that Jesus Christ died for your sins, rose from the grave, and reunited you with the Father. There are small little races in life as part of the big race. And then there's the big race. You can divide it into very small or bigger or smaller, like the little part of the race of like the sevens yesterday. And the end of the race, when you run the race that was set before you and not the rat race, not the added weights that was not yours, when you run that race, there's always that state of joy that comes into your life so regularly. That's the fruit of it. That's the fruit of your obedience, is that deep, everlasting joy. And often we don't have it because we're not engaging in those things, but we're engaging in other things that we think is nice. And obviously, there is the ultimate end state of Christianity, the ultimate joy when we're united with him and we stand before him and he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've completed the race. You've completed the race that I put out for you." The scripture beautifully also says that he is able to keep you from stumbling. He will help you on that race. But he wants you to choose that race. Not as a mean, harsh God, but as a good, loving Father that knows exactly what is best for you. And to choose that. So we need to get the rats out of our race. Going into 2019, it would be absolutely incredible. Imagine you can get all the rats out of your race. You could just run the race whose burden is light, whose yoke is easy, and who has got joy at the end of it, victory as you walk. Miracles. All those beautiful things are locked up in that pathway. In that pathway, in that race that is laid out for us to explore, for us to discover what has been set out for us by our loving Father. Could you quickly close your eyes? We will definitely ensure in some way more time in the morning services for ministry, because we get to 11 o'clock way too quickly. But just right now, we're not we unfortunately cannot do long altar calls now where we minister for each other. But there we are right now, closing your eyes. If something of this sermon of running the race and getting the committing to the race, first of all, getting the rats out of your life, looking to Jesus and setting your eyes on the joy that is set before you, if this is ringing true to your life, can I just know who I'm going to pray for by raising your hand in faith that God would do something in you through this? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the one who puts the fire in our hearts. Thank you, Jesus, that you're the one that puts your desires in our hearts. Thank you that you're the one that leads us into the ways of everlasting. I thank you that your ways are good. Your ways are good, Lord. I declare in Jesus' name, you desire good things for us, Lord. You do have burdens and yokes you want to give to us to take responsibility of, God. But they are light and easy, and you help us with them. And the endurance they cause, we accept it, God, because it makes us more like you. As we endure, we become more like you. As we look to you, we become more like you. Father, I pray for this over every hand that is raised in Jesus' name, every heart that says, yes, I want your race, but I don't want the rats in it. God, I pray that you would make us sensitive in your spirit so we can know which weights and sin you are looking into and saying, get it out of your life. It's not part of my plan. The witnesses are saying, come on, you can do better than this. Don't waste your time like this. Don't do this. There is joy locked up for you in following him. There is a great big God out there that has got a plan, and you can be part of it. Why do anything else than that? Why? Father, I pray for revelation in our hearts. I pray for revelation of this to continue in our hearts. I pray as we go on holiday, God, that you would really do a work inside of us, that we would sit down and plan our lives and make sure that we align to this beautiful race that you've set before us. Make sure that we are obedient to the holy God who created the heavens and the earth, who knows what is right, who knows what is good, and whose word is true. Lord, thank you for this thing that you're doing inside of us now. And thank you that next year we could be diligent to walk in that. Hebrews 4 says, be diligent to enter that rest. There was rest that was created for you, a Sabbath rest, the eternal Sabbath rest in which you have already entered right now through salvation, which you should walk in. If you're outside of that rest, get back. It's part of your salvation. Don't neglect a salvation so great. Be diligent to enter that rest. Make sure you take yokes and burdens that are God-given. Father, I impart this into every heart in Jesus' name, God. I impart this into every one of us right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And may you be blessed in this week. May you be blessed as many of you finish this off at work. I pray for favor on your lives. I pray for ears open to your Holy Spirit. And I pray for hearts surrendered to your kingdom, your race. And I declare that we will not be a people that sets our eyes on mammon, but we set it on the kingdom of God alone. In Jesus' name, amen.